Today, we continue with lesson number 30 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Gittin. And today we will continue in the 8th perek with the 4th and 5th Mishnayos. Perek Ches, Mishneh Dalet, and Mishneh Hei. Mishneh Dalet. We are introduced in this Mishnah to the concept of a get yoshon, an old get. This means a get which was written and signed on one day, let's say the first of the year 1980, but the get was not given to the woman, delivered to her, until the first of the year 1983. So, 3 years have passed by between the time the get was written and signed and the time that the get was actually delivered to her. And we will see here a machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, with Beis Hillel being the stricter of the two. Beis Shammai omrim, poter odom es ishto beget yoshon. Beis Shammai says, it's fine. It's acceptable for a man to rid himself, to free himself of his wife by giving her a get yoshon, an old get, so to speak. Uveis Hillel osrin, whereas Beis Hillel forbids it. The Gemara explains that Beis Hillel's reason is because of gzeiro shemeyomru gito kodim livno. We're concerned that people will say that this woman's get preceded the birth of her children. In other words, the get is written and signed the first of the year 1980, not given to her yet. All of 1980 and 1981 and 1982, the husband and wife lived together. She hasn't received a get yet. Technically, legally, in every sense, they're still married. And they have children. Then, the first of the year 1983, he gives her a get. 3 years later, in 1986, people will see this woman is divorced, living on her own, and she's been divorced for 6 years. And take a look. These kids are only 4 years old, 5 years old. And she's been divorced for 6 years because her get says it was written and signed on the first of 1980. So they will say these children must be the children of a not illegitimate marriage, but of no marriage. She was no longer married and she had children. They're not mamzerim in the technical sense, but they're the children of a penuyo. They're the children of an unwed woman. They're children born out of wedlock. And this will certainly ruin their chance for shiduchim. So because of that, Beis Hillel forbade the use of a get yoshon. If a get is given, it must be signed and sealed, written and signed the day it is given. Vezeo get yoshon. Exactly what is the definition of a get yoshon? Mishnah says, kol shenisyachedimo acha shekesovolo. Any get where the husband and wife are alone together after the get was written. It gets written on Monday, and they spend the rest of the week together, and he gives her the get the following Sunday. That is a get yoshon, and it is not permissible to use such a get. The halacha is, like Beis Hillel, that one should not use a get which has been written and dated, written and signed days before it's given. But if it is used, b'di'eved, the woman is mikureshes, and she can use that get to marry someone else, or l'chatchila. Our Mishnah Hei now, goes on to discuss one of the takonos that Chazal made for dating, for assigning a date to a get. And Chazal determined that a get should be written by the years of the king under whose dominion the Jewish people were living at the time. So that the document was dated the fifth year to the reign of such and such a king, the king of Bavel, if they were living in Bavel. Now Mishnah says that it is necessary only to use the date of the kingdom, of the king of the kingdom in what, which one is living, and not some historic date, not some Jewish date even, like the date, how many years it's been since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, or since the Beis HaMikdash was built, or whatever. This is Takonas Chazal. Now this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says, Kol HaMishaneh Mimatbeya She'tovu Chachomim B'Gitin HaGet Botel. That, and not only HaGet Botel, but Teitzei V'Havlad Mamza. Rabbi Meir says that if a person does not conform in the writing of the get to the exact procedure, the exact details that the Chachamim prescribed, then the get is possible, and she's not a get, and if she lives with another person on the basis of that get, the children are mamzerim. Now this Mishnah will list a whole list of consequences the Chachamim imposed upon a woman who remarries based upon a get which was written improperly, which the improper dates upon it. And you will see an entire list of knossos, of harsh fines, which are imposed upon a woman who uses such a get. So such a get is absolutely worthless, as we will see. Kosav l'shum malchus she'eino hogenes. If a person writes a get, the date of the get, dated by an improper kingdom. Chazal say, the Gemara says, that the improper kingdom to which we're alluding to is the Malchus of Rome, which is called a Malchus She'eino Hogenes, because it's not a cultured country, they have no alphabet, they have no language of their own, etc. But you're living in Bavel, and you should date the get by the king of Bavel, how many years it is in his reign. And if instead you write it for the Malchus She'eino Hogenes, or the Shum Malchus Modai, the Shum Malchus Yovon, or for these other kingdoms which are already history, they're no longer existing, or Levinyan Habayis, it's been so many hundreds of years exactly after, since the Beis HaMikdash was built, or the Churban Habayis, so many years since it's been destroyed. So such a get is possible. Similarly, if the sofer was Hoyo Bamizroch V'Choso Bamarov, he was in the East, he was in the Orient, and he wrote the get as if he was in the Occident, as if he was in the West, or the opposite. Bamarov V'Choso Bamizroch. In all these cases, the get is possible. Suppose a woman marries on the basis of this get, which the Chachamim ruled is absolutely worth nothing. Teitzei mizeh umizeh. For example, she was married to Reuven. Reuven divorced her, and the get used was this improperly dated get. So on that basis, she went now and married Shimon. So teitzei mizeh umizeh means she cannot go back to marry Reuven because she's already lived with Shimon illegitimately. She was not divorced from Reuven. The divorce was invalid. So she can't go back to Reuven because she was promiscuous, so to speak, under him. She was still married to him and living with Shimon. Similarly, she cannot go back to Shimon because Shimon is, in the sense, is legally the adulterer. And a woman cannot marry her adulterer. Kishem she'asur ol ba'al, just like a woman who is mizana, who commits adultery, cannot go back to her husband, asur ol ba'al, she also cannot marry her adulterer, the man with whom she had the adulterous relationship. Now she wants to marry a third person, Levi. Utzricho get mizeh umizeh, she cannot marry Levi, unless she has a get from both Reuven and Shimon. V'ein lo lo kesuva, she does not receive the kesuva money, v'lo peros, nor can she get back from I, the husband, the fruits of her own property that they ate. She had her own property, and Reuven and Shimon both ate the peros of her property. They both collected the rents from her apartment houses. She can't recover that. V'lo mezonos, if she went during the time before she married Shimon, she went and borrowed money in order to support herself because she was divorced, so to speak. She thought she was divorced from Reuven and she had not yet married Shimon, so she went and borrowed money. She cannot get that money back. In other words, that money will not be paid for by them for her. V'lo b'lo'os, nor if there's anything left of her estate that is now rags, she had clothing, a wardrobe, which has now become worn out, b'lo'os, she can't get that back. Lo alzeh v'lo alzeh, neither from Reuven nor from Shimon. Im not lo mizeh o mizeh, if indeed she did collect the ksuva money, or the peros money, etc., from one or the other of them, tachzir, she has to return it to them. We don't say, well, she has it already, let her keep it. We have lad mamze mizeh umizeh, children that she might have now if Reuven takes her back, thinking, look, I divorce is invalid, so I'll go back and the marriage is still on. Nope. That child is a mamzer midrabono. The second husband, any child she had from him, is a mamzer min haTorah. It's how Rashi learns the pshat, because the marriage was of the first person was never over. The second person was living with her in an adulterous relationship, and therefore the children she had by the second husband are mamzerim min haTorah, and the children she had midrabono are mamzerim because of the knas derabono. V'lo zev o zev mitamin lo. If either husband is a Kohen, that Kohen cannot go to her funeral. A Kohen can only become Tomei to his wife, who is legitimately his wife, not in this situation where his wife is Ishto Pesula. She is an invalid, illegitimate wife to him. V'lo zev o zev, that's all the bad news for her. There's a little bit of good news, and that is V'lo zev o zev zakoin lo b'mitziyasa, neither Ruve nor Shimon are entitled to things she might find. If she found, you know, a treasure chest in the street, she won the lottery, let's say, for $1 million. So normally the husband would be entitled to take his wife's mitzios, his wife's winnings, findings. However, that's only true mishum eva, because we don't want there to be a machlokas. The wife found something in the street and the husband can't get a share of it. Here, we don't care if there is Eva. We don't care if there's a machlokas between the wife and the husband. So therefore, she gets to keep her own mitziyos. Her husbands are out in the cold and can't get a share of our millions of dollars of the lottery. V'lo b'maaseh yodeh. If she goes to work and she's a high-paid attorney, she makes $500 an hour. So normally, that $500 belongs to the husband. It's part of the marriage deal. And in exchange for that, he has to support her in the style to which she is accustomed. However, since this woman is not provided with mizonos, this woman is not supported by either husband, so therefore she gets, of course, to keep whatever she earns on her own. V'lo b'haforas nedoreho. A husband can invalidate, can nullify, can be mayfair the vows of his wife. But here, that privilege doesn't belong to either of them. Hoysa bas Yisroel, nifseles min hakohuna. If these husbands die before they actually divorced her, so you might think, well, she's married to one of them. She could, no, she's like a zona, and like a zona, she cannot marry a kohen. Of course, if she is divorced by them, either of them, she can't marry a Kohen anyway, even if they're alive, because she's a Grusha as well as a Zona. Bas Levi, if she was the daughter of a Levi, and the Levi is entitled to eat Ma'aser Rishon, she cannot eat Ma'aser Rishon, which is a harsh punishment, because normally even a Zona can eat Ma'aser Rishon. But this is a special kanas, a special fine imposed upon her because the get was invalid, and the chachamim want to drive home the point, this get is garnished. This get is nothing. It was written on the improper date. Bas Kohen, if she, her father was a Kohen, and normally if her father's a Kohen, her husbands die, she can go back to eat in her father's house, not here. She cannot even eat, the Gemara says, even Truma D'Rabbono. V'ein Yorshov Shel Zeh, V'Yorshov Shel Zeh, Yorshin K'suboso. If she had sons from either or both of those husbands, normally, when a woman has a K'suva, marries a man, she gets what's called a K'suvas Benin Dichrin, meaning one of the benefits of the K'suva is that if she dies while her husband is still alive, her sons, the son that she had by him, inherit the ksuva that he would have to pay her had he died first or had he divorced her. That's, and also, normally the sons would also inherit the nedunya, the nadan, the dowry which she brought into the marriage. That's called ksuvas benin dichrin. In this case, if she dies while these two husbands are alive, and then the two husbands died. I refer to them as two husbands, just the best way to explain both of them. Neither of them is a husband, really. And she had sons from the first, from the second. Those sons do not receive her ksuvas benin dichrin. They do not inherit their mother's ksuva, nor their mother's dowry. The imesu, if the two husbands died and she had no children from them, so what about her husband's brothers? Ochiv shel zeh v'ochiv shel zeh, the brother of the one and the brother of the other, cholzin v'lo miyabim. They cannot be miyabim ha, but they must be choletza. They must give her chalitza. All of this is a consequence of the fact that she used a ksuva, which was an invalid ksuva. The Chachamim said that's not the proper way to date the ksuva, and the Chachamim wanted to make sure that this was adhered to and people would be careful, and therefore they declared all of these consequences to apply to a get which was improperly dated and yet used for a remarriage. The Mishnah continues. By the way, the Halacha is not like Rav Meir in this, but the Mishnah records Rav Meir's opinion. Shino shemo ushemo. Suppose the sofer makes a mistake, and instead of writing her name as Sora, he calls her Yenta, or he calls her Sorai, or his name, instead of calling Ruvain, he calls her, he writes Shimon, or Ribbon, or whatever, something close, but not quite the name, Shemiro v'Shemiro. Or he improperly records the name of the husband, the name of the town of the husband, or the name of the town of the wife. In such a case, the get is invalid. And if she marries on the basis of a get where there was shino shmo shmo shemiro v'shemiro, teitzei mizeh u'mizeh, she must leave both husbands. The get was improperly done. And all of the details that we went through before, all the special fines which are imposed upon her, are all in effect. In other words, Chazal wanted to be very careful that society would learn that for a get to be valid, to be effective, it must be written exactly as it is stipulated by the Chazal, down to the very last detail, the date, the place, the names, etc. Otherwise, the get is no better than a piece of paper, and all the consequences of an improper get are imposed upon her, plus a few extra punishments for the use of an improper get. And so, we have completed lesson number 30.